This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning. Happy week four. Who Dat Nation, Steve Geller, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele here on First Take, getting you ready for a matchup in Atlanta. The Falcons hosting the Saints this week. Obviously, NFC South showdown, always a big one, guys. They always say counts for two, so we got to be two times as good this morning, gentlemen. Charlie's like, oh, yeah, God.
Let's get into it. I thought you were going a little bit longer with that, Steve. I'm still just like you, dusting off a little bit of the cobwebs from last night, but let's get into it.
I'm mulling over my fantasy roster already early this morning because, you know, once we get into the nitty-gritty of things, it's hard to focus on that when you're getting
your
ready
Saints
for
pregame. Player decisions, right? Because Alvin is leaning towards playing. That is the probable one as far as Olave being a game-time decision. That's a little bit different. What kind of decisions are you talking about here, Steve?
I'm curious in my big money league, so it's like right now I have on my bench with an option to put in either Olave, Rashid Shaheed, or Taysom Hill, and I could use Taysom obviously in that tight end spot.
This could be a huge game for Taysom. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it is, because that means that the Saints offense is going to be rolling, but you're talking about how much the Saints missed him last week against the Eagles when they desperately needed a power game on the ground.
Right.
I mean, the rushing attack just was not working against those two big fellas up front, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, who Bobby and I were joking after the game, that's like 700 pounds of meat there that you're trying to run right into, and it just didn't work last week.
And now
week.
What do you know? The Tampa Bay Bucks get to deal with that this week.
Yeah, have fun. You know, this is where, you know, you're angry that the Eagles won last week, but you're kind of rooting for them on the road in Tampa. Go take care of the Bucs.
Right, they better not lay an egg in Tampa after
here. You know they are. That's exactly what's going to happen. So just don't even worry about it and take care of business against Atlanta. That's what I have to say.
For sure, and we're talking about some of the injuries with the Saints. Obviously, the biggest news, I think, going into this game for sure, LCMC Health update. LCMC Health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. Talked about Taysom Hill missing in action last week. Well, he's been a full go at practice this week going into this matchup against Atlanta. The Dirty Bird Killer will be in action. He was no injury designation going into the game. Obviously a positive there. Derek Carr being on the injury report this week concerned a lot of people. You see him with a groin injury, but was able to be a full go during the week. Not sure, obviously, when that occurred in-game for him against the Eagles, but he definitely got rocked there right at the end when he threw up that interception.
Yeah, he got popped. And that's the concern, right? Like, the offensive line, and we'll get into defensive line, too. But
offensive line,
It is very, very much makeshift for this game. Without Eric McCoy, and, I mean, you got to kind of take what happened last week with a grain of salt because you lose the glue. He is the glue that holds the castle together.
The guy, right?
Yes, Eric McCoy. I mean, losing Derek Carr is one thing, losing Eric McCoy is another. So you lost your glue guy like 5 plays into the game. And then it kind of all crumbled around. But you're more prepared this week to deal without him. And so you have the line set up. I know John Hendricks put out the tweet Basically, Deuce and Haas were talking about this on Fans in the Pro, is just how do you want to kind of play this? Do you want to potentially make three different decisions on the interior? Because Cesar Ruiz is out too.
Right.
So you're without your center and your right guard. So how
Ruiz had a knee injury, didn't practice all week. Like you mentioned, he was out. Just want to finish up with some of the health stuff.
Oh, yeah.
DeMario Davis, hamstring, he is out. That is obviously big. We'll get into that as well. Kamara didn't practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, limited. He's questionable, dealing with hip and ribs. A.T. Perry popped up with a hamstring issue on Thursday, didn't practice back-to-back days. He is out. And then you look into that, some questionable guys in Cedric Wilson Jr. and the other biggie at wide receiver, Chris Olave. Hamstring for Olave. Wilson Jr. dealing with an ankle issue. He didn't practice on Friday at all after being limited. Olave just popped up on Friday in limited action. So I know there's been reports out there that both Kamara and the Olave are expected to play in this one, though.
Kamara for sure. Olave, they keep saying they're confident
leaning
that he'll
towards
play. Right, but they haven't flat out said that he's going
so
to play.
So I should keep him on my fantasy bench.
We'll see. Like, once it gets to, 11:35 and they finally make the decision,
yeah.
Oh, game time decision, he's good to go, that's when you could probably play him. John Hendricks,
back to our O-line stuff, right?
Right, real quick. John Hendricks said that he projected the Saints O-line to look like this today. Taliese Fuaga, obviously at left tackle, he's good to go. Then at left guard, Lucas Patrick staying at the left side, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a second.
Yeah.
Shane Lemieux at center, and then Landon Young at right guard, and Trevor Penning at right tackle. So your tackles are both playing. Both your starting tackles are good to go. They decide, instead of changing three positions, which you would have to do by moving
Patrick
to center, which he has played in the past, and I think he filled in last week once McCoy went down.
Right.
Instead, they decide to leave him at left guard. So you keep three of your starting positions. You had to only change two of them. And what they did was they put in Shane Lemieux and potentially Landon Young to be filling those two spots.
Shane Lemieux, how many starts has he had at center?
Not many.
None.
Yeah.
This will be his first one. So that's the biggest concern for me, obviously, and with that. I've heard everybody talking about that, and I expected Patrick, honestly.
And yeah, no, I did too, kind of. But they decided they wanted their three spots to stay the same, and they only wanted to change two. Because if you move Lucas Patrick from left guard to center...
I get that. Keep the continuity that you can.
Right. Keep the continuity that you can. And we heard this all throughout the offseason, that Taliese is very comfortable next to Lucas Patrick. Like, a veteran presence that has been uplifting him throughout his young career. Someone that he loves playing right next to. So, I can understand keeping the left side of the line intact, but you're putting a lot of confidence in Shane Lemieux. And this is why losing McCoy was such a big deal. Because, you're putting a lot of confidence in someone that really hasn't played center to play center. Like, yes, he probably can do it. He's an NFL pro. He's a veteran. He's been there and done that. Well, he hasn't been there, done that as far as playing center. But he's played along the interior of the line.
Like you mentioned, though, too, having the entire week at least to get ready is
yes.
a lot more beneficial than just, here you go, throw you in there, McCoy's hurt, you got to go swim.
And they'll have plans for it, right? Like, at the same time, you know that the left side of your line is intact. And that's kind of what you're going to be focusing on, I think, your offense around. So, granted, teams will see weaknesses and they'll do all they can to exploit it. So you can bet that Raheem Morris and the Falcons have a plan to attack that offensive line, especially on the right side, with Landon Young playing right guard potentially, and then also Shane Lemieux playing center.
On the positive side of things, obviously, we mentioned the offensive line problems for the Saints, but the Dirty Birds are banged up as well. They won't have their starting center.
Yeah,
a weird
Drew Dahlman,
twist of fate on that.
Drew Dahlman, and then they're also without right tackle Caleb McGarry.
Right.
So, yeah, two offensive linemen for each team that were both lost in the
Even
week
Stevens
prior.
Even Stevens going into this one.
Yeah, no, and so... I mean, this is we'll just dive into it. This is a gigantic game for the Saints defensive line. We've seen Kirk Cousins. He's still not even a full year removed from that Achilles injury, by the way.
Yeah.
He can't move. He really can't. Like, it's gotten maybe slightly better from that debut against the Steelers, where he quite literally was moving like 2 yards per dropback. I think it was 3.1. The guy is a statue back there. If you can get pressure on him, the issue is that Atlanta's offensive line, I mean, entering the year, we all kind of saw it as maybe the best in the NFC South and one of the better offensive lines in the NFC, in all honesty. If you can get after him, we can figure some things out defensively. Like, offensively, there's some issues. We know that the offensive line is banged up. We know the kind of talent is banged up with Taysom is obviously going to play, but coming off a chest injury, got to be a little careful with them there. Alvin Kamara is expected to play, but he was also dealing with some injury issues. The injury report was long this week, Steve. Chris Olave could potentially play. They have offensive issues.
And just like stud after stud, you're like, what's going on here? After we were all like riding high after weeks one and two, obviously.
But Atlanta's losing two offensive linemen for this game.
Yeah.
Just straight up say it. Carl Granderson. Like, come on. Chase Young. Cam Jordan, Brian Bercee. Like, Cam has had a tough year. Like, but he loves playing against the Falcons, so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, maybe he'll, like, channel some of the past aggressions against Matt Ryan and display them on Kirk Cousins today.
The potential return of Colin Saunders in this game. Like, he should be
big
good to
up
go.
For the middle right.
But also Nathan Shepard. Like, come on, guys. Just go dominate this game. This is a game that if the Saints are going to win, the defensive line, A, has to get after Kirk Cousins when they're asked to. I mean, once again, he's kind of a statue back there. You're not expecting him to be rolling out of the pocket and extending plays and going downfield.
We don't have to know what QB design runs today.
So Mike always talks about this, right? Blowing up the middle, right? Blowing up right in front of his feet.
In
if they
the
can
face,
get some
right.
interior pressure without Drew Dolman there, their starting center, like if Bercee or Shepard or whoever it is, even Saunders can get some pressure up the middle and create some sacks, because the Saints have been pretty solid this year as far as sack totals go. They got 11 already, and that was something that we didn't see last year. So it's already been an improvement. Carl Granderson looks great early on this season. Get after Kirk Cousins. But at the same time, to get to those situations, as Mike always says, and Deuce always says this as well, you're in the right to rush the passer, right? You got to stop the run. You got to keep, Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier from getting off on
that
you.
That duo scares me, honestly.
It does, but at the same time, you don't know what kind of impact it will be felt without those two offensive linemen as well in their rushing attack.
Hopefully a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, but it's the same way with the Saints, so it's kind of back and forth. But the Saints defense, cause this could be a huge game, because you know that the Falcons have all the flashy weapons. They've spent all these premier draft picks and got the Mercedes, right? They have Kyle Pitts, who they drafted fourth overall, and Bijan Robinson, who they drafted, I think, eighth, and same thing with, like, Drake London, right? They got all these fancy weapons that they want to utilize. And even guys like Darnell Mooney, a former Tulane guy, has been really awesome to start the year for them. And I know that D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution told us that Kirk Cousins has already a great connection with someone like Darnell Mooney, maybe even better than one with, like, Drake London. But I'm not really worried about the Saints' back end versus these weapons, maybe a little bit with Kyle Pitts based off of what they did to Dallas Goedert last week. But at the same time, just get after Cousins. Like, don't even give them the time. If they can put pressure on them, get them on the ground a few times. Once again, 11 sacks, which I think is number 6 in the NFL, tied for 6. I'll double-check that number for you. But just get after them. That's a huge, huge key in this game.
Yeah, like you mentioned, obviously, after Goddard going off, the Pitts matchup seems a bit daunting. But at least he's not a typical tight end. I kind of worry about the size too of Drake London, obviously a big physical dude. I don't know, to me this year, maybe getting to see more of the Falcons games in prime time. And, after, we got off the air, I think we've seen the Eagles matchup. That was a prime time game. And then they had the matchup against Kansas City in prime time.
Right.
So we got featured a lot of Falcons, and I don't know, Drake London just looked a lot bigger this year to me.
Yeah, no, it's because he's finally got a quarterback thrown to him. I mean, like, they had Desmond Ridder thrown his way and Taylor Heineke. I mean, come on. So Kirk Cousins, a legit, I think, 13-year veteran. By the way, the sack numbers with 11, they're tied for 5th. But I don't know if I could even guess this entering the year. Who's number 1 in sacks? Do you know, Steve?
Alante Taylor.
No. As far as like team sacks, like the most sacks for a team this year.
Who is it overall in the NFL?
The Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
They have 16 sacks. I mean, I remember kind of slamming what the Vikings did this offseason by getting rid of their pass rushers, like letting Danielle Hunter go, and they basically lost 26 sacks of production from their defensive ends. I guess it didn't matter. They're sitting with 16 early on. So as far as that, the Saints have gone off to a really good start defensively. But at the same time, this is a big test.
Do you know offhand where the Saints rank behind Minnesota leading the NFL in sacks?
So they're 5th. They're tied for 5th.
Okay.
With 11. Now they're tied with teams like Buffalo and Denver, Green Bay, and Seattle.
Man, talk about Denver. They really came into Tampa last week and put a whooping on them.
Yes, they did. I mean, I don't even think the Saints necessarily laid an egg. Like, I think laying an egg is like what Tampa just did.
No, they certainly did not lay an egg. It was a hard-fought game.
And Philly's a good team. So you kind of tip your cap.
Even though the coach seems a bit loony.
Their coach, it's so funny, because like folks in Philly sports talk radio are just still screaming for Sirianni's head after that win. They're just like, what is this dude doing? And they're right. He's a pretty bad coach, and we'll see if we can meet him again.
We're taking a break here on First Take. Want to hear from you, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Getting our pregame going, waking up. What a wild night, too, in college football. Obviously, LSU flexing their muscles, but man, oh, man, that game in Tuscaloosa was drunk, Charlie.
3-0 week in college football for pick six.
Oh, someone likes that.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm going to take a break when we get back. More of First Take here on WWL and the Odyssey.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay tuned.
Listen, man, Atlanta has always been good to me, you know, since my freshman year at LSU. So, you know, I love going up there and, you know, making a player, too.
Back here on First Take, we're hoping to see that player, too, from Tyrann Mathieu, Saints safety. Said he likes going to Atlanta, you know, has had some good times since being an LSU Tiger up in those parts.
Yeah, let's kind of extend that lead, I would say. Right now, the Saints lead the all-time series 55-54, but if you ask the Falcons, they'll include that playoff game.
Right, of
and
sure.
And it'll be 55-55. So, real quick, we got a text on our text line here, Steve, and it's from 0198. It said, "What's up, crew? Dennis Allen needs to know when to use a zone defense. It was bad coaching at the end of the game." You bet. Yeah, 100%. And so, I think Bobby had asked DA about that on the Saints coaches show this past Monday, and he didn't really give an answer about why he was doing that. And like the 3rd-and-16 scenario, right, where they were trying to make sure that Dallas Goedert didn't get the ball, and then three players ran into each other, and Dallas Goedert gets a 61-yard gain down the field. So they kind of picked themselves, so to speak, which opened up such a gigantic space. That was just a defensive breakdown at the worst possible time. At the same time, yeah, I kind of agree with this texter that they should have probably been playing zone in that situation, but we kind of move on, right?
Talking about defense, and I mentioned it obviously real quick in our injury update, but man, the importance, and I mean, not the importance, but the problems of not having a key guy on the field and, you know, around for you in DeMario Davis. It just seems massive going into this game, too.
Yeah, because you want to stop the Falcons' rushing attack, and DeMario Davis is a dog, and he'll get up and be physical. At the same time, like, you got Pete Warner there. You got, you know, Willie Gay ready to go. I don't think they made any elevations from the practice squad on defense.
Not defense, but they did elevated, Kyle Hergel, right?
One of my favorite.
Offensive linemen.
One of my favorite interviews from this past offseason. Kyle Hergel's such a dude. Like, he's such a guy. He's fantastic.
Football IQ seems to be very high with him, too, which you love. He just seems to kind of, like, eat, breathe, and sleep it kind of thing.
A UDFA that I was really hoping would make the team. He makes the practice squad, and now he gets elevated to the active roster because of injuries on the interior offensive line. Hoping for the best for him, man.
Next man up, like they say, of course, and we'll see what can if the young man gets some action today in this matchup against the Dirty Birds. And you going into the game, obviously you drop the game to the Philadelphia Eagles at home, shake it off, bounce back. This one, as you mentioned, so much more important just because, you know, you're getting back into divisional play here, and it's tight already, you know, obviously. And the front load of this schedule, you're hit with NFC South opponents right out the gate. Going to have this game, then you go on the road in Kansas City next week, but then, bam, you're right back at it again, too, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we know Tampa's 2-1, Saints are 2-1, Falcons 1-2 right now, Panthers also 1-2 after getting their first victory, the Andy Dalton-led Carolina Kitty Cats able to survive there. But right now against the Falcons, man, oh, man, you know that this is just a rivalry matchup that people are so keyed in on.
So real quick, this is a stat that Schefter just put out about Andy Dalton, just because it's a fun little note. Strange but true, since the Bengals cut Andy Dalton, he's played for four different NFC teams, and each time he started a game against his former Bengals. He started for the Cowboys in 2020 against the Bengals. In 2021, he started for the Bears against the Bengals. 2022, started for the Saints against Cincinnati. In 2024, starting today for the Panthers. So he's been on four different squads, and every single time he's come back to face his old team with the Bengals.
Yeah, they asked him this week, what's it going to be like, Andy, facing your old team? He's like, I've kind of done this a lot already.
Yeah, it's the fourth time. It's interesting. I don't know. So I'm sure he's probably tired of answering those questions. But yeah, it's just gigantic, this game. I mean, if you can get off to a 3-1 start and 2-0 in division play, like I always say, the 2-for-1 games, that's so huge. And I think Haas had made this point, and I'll have to double-check the schedule. But once you reach week 10, when you play the Falcons in the Superdome, that's the last NFC South game until week 18 against
the
Buccaneers.
Wild to think about, because that's completely opposite of what we've seen in the past.
It's so front-loaded. Like, you're playing five of your first 10 weeks are against NFC South opponents.
Right.
And then your sixth NFC South game comes in week 18. So you have a chance to get off to a good start. I mean, 2-0 in the NFC South is big for one, but also not necessarily burying them because it's still very early. And I would have said it more likely had they lost that game to the Eagles like they were supposed to, and you had a chance to drop them to 0-4. But 1-3 is still a pretty big hole that you have to dig yourself out of. So it's
especially division-wise, obviously.
Yeah, correct. But it's like the 2-for-1, so to speak, right? Where you can kind of catapult yourself to 3-1 and we'll, you know, hope that the Eagles can go to Tampa and take down the Buccaneers and drop them to 2-2. But then you're also dropping your rival, the team that everyone expected to just, you know, make the leap and win the NFC South this year, to 1-3 early on in the season. They should be 0-4 because the Eagles should have beat them, but whatever. But 1-3 is still a pretty big hole early on in the season.
Tyrann Mathieu also talked about rebounding after a loss, obviously how key that is.
You know, obviously this Sunday, man, like, doesn't take, you know, a lot to get up for this one. You know, it's the Falcons, it's a divisional game, and, you know, if we want to be a good team, we got to find a way to not lose two games in a row, you know, and just get back on the positive side.
He mentioned that right there, Charlie. Obviously so key. Good teams find a way not to lose two games in a row. So it's obviously stung that the Saints, you felt, could have extended their record to 3-0 in the season. Oh, well, boo-hoo, it's over with. We're on to week four. And now you just got to make sure you don't get to 2-2, obviously.
Right. And that's why, you know, I'll put a lot of pressure on the defense because it doesn't feel like the Falcons' offense is clicking right now. And I'll give you a couple numbers to back up that. Because, I mean, once again, as we mentioned, they got all the weapons. They got all the fancy toys with Pitts and, you know, Algier's not necessarily fancy. He's kind of an old-style, like, downhill running back, like, punch you in the mouth. But, like, Drake London. And now Darnell Mooney and Bijan Robinson, who Mike has said may be the next great NFC running back. But as far as the Falcons' offense. The one thing that's, you know, Deuce had pointed this out, and I used this for one of the Sunday morning reports, was that their third down offense has been bad, has been, like, legitimately terrible. They're 29th in the NFL in third down rate right now. I know it's 3 weeks, so it's not the biggest sample size in the world, but they're converting third downs at a 22.22%. 22%. So if you can get them into those favorable third down situations, once again, their offense isn't necessarily clicking right now. Scoring average, I mean, the Saints are giving up 14.7 points per game, which is top five in the NFL. The Falcons are scoring 16.3, which is 26th. So even with all these weapons and the new quarterback, I know they've gone against some good defenses. The Steelers have a fantastic defense. Like, the Chiefs have a pretty good defense and when they want to be.
And like, when the refs help.
Yeah, and then the Eagles. So it's not like they've been playing scrubs or anything like that, but the Saints have a great defense too. Keep that unit bottled up. Don't let them get any confidence. I mean, if you're talking about your third down percentage, if you get them to those situations, right, like that's where you start to tee off. And if circling back around to my point about the defensive line, if they can get after Kirk Cousins and get into those third and longs, even like third and mediums, and then just go after them, like put them on the ground, then you're going to be getting some drive-killing plays, you know. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, not having a mobile quarterback to deal with this week is a nice little lanyard for this defense going into the matchup, something you don't have to worry about. Obviously, you know, the Jalen Hurts matchup, everyone kept saying, you know, we're going to have a spy on him, or, you know, who are you going to have focused that's dedicated to stopping Jalen Hurts? It's not about that this week. We're not going to have to see Kirk Cousins tucking and running, worrying about him scrambling for like 18-yard gains.
No, he can't move, Steve. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's a statue back there. So, granted, he knows that, and he's a veteran. He's a savvy guy. He's been in the league for 13 years. Like, there's nothing that
he
can
pick
really
you apart, though.
Right. He can definitely do that if you give him time to do it. Now, you know, the key that Bobby always talks about is getting pressure with the front four, right? Making it feel like a blitz without using a blitz. At the same time, you might have to bring a couple blitzes at points in this game to make sure you get him on the ground. But you got to be kind of careful with that because, as you mentioned, if you don't, that's when he can pick you apart. We got a text. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, read the text mark on our Open Heart Jewelers talking text line here on First Take.
Before I get to that from Joe from Biloxi, one last point I wanted to make about the Falcons' offense. Time of possession. They averaged 24 minutes of time of possession. And I know that, you know, once again, they've played some kind of rush-heavy teams with Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. But that goes back to my point about their third down efficiency being a reason why their offense has struggled. They're not staying on the field much, Steve. They're not, like, keeping these drives extended. For instance, the game that they won against the Eagles, it came off of a miracle, like, 45-second drive at the very end of the game. So,
right,
I mean,
they were able to close it out there in Philly, which was wild.
And that's what Kirk Cousins can do, by the way. He can do that. But at the same time, if you can keep that third down conversion rate like low, end drives early, boost your sack numbers, there's a couple things that are working in the Saints' favor here defensively versus the Falcons' offense, which is the matchup that we're all, you know, very highly anticipating heading into the season as far as the NFC South goes. The Saints' defense was always going to be legit. And the Falcons' offense was expected to be legit. They just haven't gotten going just yet. They're like D. Orlando Ledbetter, once again, I'll reference him from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He basically said the defense is further along. The Falcons' defense is further along so far than the Atlanta offense, which is interesting because they kind of got their own mercenaries on the defensive side of the ball too, with like Matt Judon and Justin Simmons going out and getting these one-year deals and stuff like that, and making moves to add those guys at positions of need defensively. Their defense has been pretty solid this year. They're giving up 20.3 points per game, which is 13th in the NFL. So, as D said, the defense is a little bit further along than the offense. This is kind of the chance for the Saints defense to make sure that they don't get that, you know, kind of confidence going early on.
You mentioned about Justin Simmons, them acquiring him. Obviously, the Saints were in the mix to try and land that free agent.
Yeah.
Ended up choosing the ATL, and they've got a heck of a pairing over there at that safety spot. And
yes, they do.
Derek Carr was asked about how good are these Falcon safeties.
They're unbelievable. I played both of them for years now. You know, Jesse's a great player. Like you saw last year, he left the middle of the field and went and picked off a choice route on the other side of the field. You know, and you know, he has that ability and he has that talent. And so you have to be ready for that, have a plan for that. And then Justin, I've played for years in Denver, you know, and he knows how I feel about him. I think the world of him, not only as a player, but more importantly as a person. You know, I think he's, you know, if you're a kid and you want to you want to learn how to play safety, and you want to root for two guys, I'd root for those two guys because they're great people. You know, we played, you know, Jesse in the playoffs, and after the game, I come out and he's sitting there talking to my kids for 10 minutes. You know, he just, that's the type of people they are. And then you watch them and the type of players that they are, just outstanding talents, but even better people.
Derek Carr there talking about Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons, that safety duo
and
that Falcon secondary.
They're nasty, Steve, for sure, 100%. But, you know, maybe the defensive line for the Falcons is not, at least the interior of the defensive line, and I don't want to take away from guys like
Do we have
Grady.
To worry about a David Onyemata revenge game today?
Yeah, Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata, like, they're good players. But what you saw last week from Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, it's not going to be that. So it's going to be a little bit easier on the interior of this offensive line. Now, they still got to get the job done, right, and open up holes in the rushing attack, make sure that, you know, they're not getting a ton of penetration up the middle, like exactly what you want to do against the Falcons without their center. But at the same time, it's not going to be as tough of a test because they're just not as talented as those two guys, if we're being honest. So,
yeah, I'm looking up the Falcons injury report when you were talking about that defense, too. Do you happen to recall the status of Matthew Judon? I know
he's good to go.
He's good to go.
He was a full participant. I don't know if he was full participant, but him and Bijan popped up on the injury report on Thursday. But neither one of them have like injury designations for this game. They were just both limited on that day.
Okay, yeah, I knew that the shoulder issue for Bijan wasn't considered really anything serious, but I wasn't sure with Judon on. I think it was a hamstring for him
that
he ended up dealing with.
I think Judon's supposed to be good to go. There are two players that are really out, or as we mentioned, the center and the right tackle. So defensively, they're healthy.
Banged up O-line versus banged up O-line.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Once again, the test from the Falcons D-line won't be as significant as, especially the interior, right? I keep saying this because the Phillies edge rushers aren't necessarily impressive. They don't have a Matt Judon. But at the same time, the interior of their defensive line is so solid and stout and talented. That's not what the Falcons are going to be presenting you. Now, Judon is a potential game record himself. He's only a couple of years removed from basically a 15.5 sack season with New England. Now, he had injuries last year. He got moved on from in the offseason. He got traded to the Falcons in the offseason. So that was a position that they needed to fill. We thought that they were going to draft an edge rusher in the first round before they drafted Michael Penix, their QB of the future with the 8th overall pick. But, so they got Judon basically as like a mercenary. As I mentioned, I really wanted to – let's get to this text real quick.
Yeah.
14-13 said, morning, the Saints almost loses this game because of penalties. Penalties, okay. But Groupie pulls it out with a late winning field goal. Who dat? Joe from Biloxi.
I'll take it, too.
Bobby always says this, there is no such thing as an ugly win. Just get out of Atlanta with a win, get to 3-1, right? Drop them to 1-3. You're 2-0 in the division. Once again, we'll keep hyping up this game because of how important it is. You're starting out 2-0 in the division and 3-1 just in the NFC in general. Like, you're feeling really, really good about yourselves, especially kind of heading into the stretch run that you're going to go on in a little bit here with Kansas City and Tampa Bay. That's looking a little bit ahead. You got to focus on this one today. And once again, 3-1. It just seems like there's an ocean of difference between 3-1 and 2-2, doesn't there?
Definitely sounds a lot better.
It sounds significantly better. And at the same time, for the Falcons, they're thinking the same thing. There's like a gigantic gap between 2-2 and 1-3. You got to go on a little bit of a winning streak just to get back to 500. Versus if you're 2-2, you're there. So I know it's early on in the season, but we can't really emphasize enough how important this game is.
No, you're getting into another leg right now. Obviously, you started out, boom, first three games, you gone 2-1. Not a bad job at all. You would take that at the beginning of the year. Now looking at this next three-game stretch, you really got to go 2-1 again. You got two against divisional rivals today against Atlanta. Then after the Kansas City game Monday night, we got a matchup against Tampa Bay. So you got back – almost back-to-back, you know, NFC South opponents, like we've mentioned, is very top-heavy. You got to get to, you know, 3-0 in division would be so sweet, especially you don't have to start worrying about those tiebreakers at the end of the year, which gets so annoying. Like, well, if we do this against so-and-so and the Saints end up, you know, winning here and so-and-so loses there, then they have a chance at the one seed. No, just get your tiebreakers out the way, win the division, and boom, you're in the playoffs for sure.
We got from 6308, will Alvin play today? I have him on my fantasy football. Yes, he is expected to play, and I also have him on my fantasy football. I've been a very happy Alvin Kamara fantasy guy, so yes, he's going to be ready to go.
We're going to take a break, be back with more First Take. Want to hear from you on the Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line. Sound off, folks, 504-260-1870. Be getting to you right after this on WWL. Welcome on into First Take. It's brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Getting back into our Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line right off the bat. Want to hear from you, Who Dat Nation, as you're getting ready for the Dirty Birds. What you cooking up for this matchup, too? Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line, 504-260-1870. Definitely, I feel like wings has got to be a staple today going against the Birds.
Yeah, we're getting some today. That's going to be fun. No, you got to. Absolutely. Cook up some Dirty Bird wings. I mean,
fried falcon, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, there we go.
Checking in on that Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line. Jimmy, what you got for us this morning, my man?
What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, man.
Hey, listen. We had time to prepare. We all know Eric McCoy getting hurt was devastating. The Eagles started sending pressure up the middle. It had everybody flustered. The fans were flustered in the dome. I missed that game, actually. I watched it at home. I was flustered. You saw the offensive line was flustered. Derek Carr was under pressure. Kubiak is going to adjust, and I know he's going to be out for a while. Everybody's got to step up. Next man up. Whether we like it or not, that's the situation. I, like you said, Charlie, Steve, we're better prepared now knowing what's in front of us. DeMarco Davis out, man. I don't know. We've heard so much about DeMarco Jackson. I don't know if he's going to surface more, but this is his opportunity. And I said it last week. Look, I doubt Cam Jordan's listening right now. He's probably warming up and stretching up and then putting this
he's
and that on.
He's always listening to
and
First Take.
He does probably. Look, I'm calling out the Cam. We love you, but you got to step it up, man. You got to, you know, I know you got a lot of kids. I know you're getting, you know, you don't want, you know, it's like you're not getting sleep. We all know if you got kids, you don't get as much sleep, this and that. But look, he's getting a little long in the tooth, and he will go down as a legend, all right, of the Saints and a first ballot Saints Hall of Famer. But I don't know if this is last year. The output isn't there. All I'm saying is he's got to step up. And, yeah, look, Penning, he's been an enigma from the start, but he's going to be out there. We need him to step up, you know, and I guess Taysom's back. But, you know, Kamara's playing for the new contract. But let me say this about last week. Derek Carr's throw over the middle. Now, granted, there was some pressure, and it kind of stressed him out. 1 minute left. But that game was right there for us. For him to throw it over the middle, considering how much he makes, it was a boneheaded throw. And he's played pretty well this year. I got to give him credit. But all it takes, you know, like Bobby Hebert says, it's what did you do for me lately?
Right.
And, you know, considering we had a blocked punt, Granderson, I think, strip fumble. We had the Honey Badger interception at home. We should have won that game, but yep. Hindsight's 20/20. It's water under the bridge, and people joke about Kirk Cousins and how he looks like Mr. Rogers and, you know, his corny dances and all that. But guess what? He is very accurate. He is very accurate, and especially in the regular season. I know he's known for not playing well in the playoffs, but he scares me. We got to start off early with this guy because otherwise he is going to carve us up. So let's do that. Let's beat the Dirty Birds. Let's get it 55-55, Charlie said. We got to break the tie here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were giving me
a score
prediction.
I was like, wow.
I was about to lose my – I was like, whoa. A team that's been averaging, you know, 16 points per game.
I hope we're not giving 55.
We're getting like a tie. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no. So we actually have a text to me as well. Don't sleep on Kirk. If we let him, he'll pick us apart. Keep him uncomfortable back there with pressure. Agreed. Because once again, yes, Kirk Cousins has got the mind to do it. He can pick you apart. He does not have the athleticism to like just run all over you. Right?
The good news is obviously you want to see Cam, you know, getting more of a presence on this D line. But you look at the guys in a Carl Granderson and what he's been able to do,
Carl's
and man, oh man, Chase Young too. I know he doesn't have the sack numbers, but his pressures are definitely there. He just got to worry about maybe his conditioning later on in games. He seems a little more gassed.
What did DA call it? He called it like invisible presence or something, like production, something like that, like where the numbers aren't necessarily there yet for Chase, but they'll be popping up soon because he's doing well. Like he's had a strong start to the year. Carl Granderson's your defensive end one, and you're hoping that he can get it too. But I'm looking more towards the interior of this defensive line for the Saints. Like I want to see Bercy get after like Kirk Cousins. I wanted to see Nathan Shepard get some pressure. I wanted to see, you know, Colin Saunders have a nice game in his, you know, return, his season debut for the Saints, because he's been dealing with an injury that's kept him out the first three games. So give me the interior pressure right at his feet to make him super uncomfortable. Without their center, just blow up the interior. And if that happens and he has to move back and he steps right back into Carl Granderson or Chase Young, yeah, you're going to be pumping up those 11 sacks so far this year. That's the hope. Because, you know, if he does have time, as Jimmy mentioned, as that texter mentioned, Kirk Cousins has the ability. He can pick you apart. But if you put him on the ground early and often and have him feeling uncomfortable in that pocket with two missing offensive linemen.
Pressure
breaks the pipes, right? That's exactly what you need, especially for an offense that hasn't necessarily gained much confidence yet this year. Like, once again, they're 26th in the NFL in scoring. They're terrible on third down. Make sure that they don't get any confidence in this game. That's what I would say.
Cruising along here on First Take. Speaking of cruises, the Saints have partnered with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. You can mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fan Cruise. Make sure you check it out. Going to be back with more First Take as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up 10 a.m. right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Who dat? Oh, waking up this morning. Hope you're joining us on First Take as we get ready for the noon kickoff in Atlanta between the Saints and Falcons. Noah's a bit of a mess there, obviously, in the ATL, having to deal with some of the hurricane I guess it was a tropical storm, basically, when it got to them.
Yeah, the whole East Coast, I mean,
ravaged.
Yeah. Helene kind of went up there and just dumped a ton of water. So, I mean, yeah, something's, you know, you move past football. We all hate the dirty birds, but hoping for the best for everyone out there.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you look at the game going into this, it was kind of a concern if there would be any kind of weather ramifications for the Saints having to play this game. But luckily, things went and passed by early on, and there was no damage, obviously, to the stadium. I imagine, though, that the surrounding metro area, it'll be interesting, is probably dealing with a little bit of inconvenience as they recover from all the storm aftermath.
Yeah, I think if anything, it would have been like potentially the logistics with travel. But as far as we know, I think everything went fine.
Right.
So, but yeah, as you kind of said, we're hoping for the best for the folks out there. I know that there's still plenty of people without power in like the Carolinas and Georgia and stuff like that. So
up next, WWL News. We'll be back with the second hour First Take after the break. Stay tuned on WWL.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.